turn now to Prophet Isaiah chapter 40. We'll read the first 11 verses of Isaiah 40. Hear the word of the Lord. Comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned. For she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. The voice said, cry. And he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. O Zion, that bringest good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem, that bringest good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up, be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. We'll end our reading there this morning. Beloved, you can find our text for this morning's special service in Isaiah 40, the chapter we read together, verse 11. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom and gently lead those who are with young. As we celebrate communion on this Advent Sunday, our theme is, the gentle shepherd is coming. We'll have three thoughts: the paradoxical promise, the clear revelation. Then as we gather at the table, we'll consider the growing realization. Our first thought then is the paradoxical promise. Isaiah 40 is a well-known chapter. The opening words, famous words of comfort again. And yet these words of comfort are a prophecy to the people of Israel, a prophecy, a declaration, if you will, that peace on earth and goodwill towards men is coming. It's a prophecy of the coming Messiah of Israel. And this coming Messiah will come, and as he comes, he will be powerful. Verse 10 makes this very clear. Behold, the Lord God shall come with a strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. You may know that Isaiah 40 is a pivot point in Isaiah's prophecy. Up to this point, he had to bring, as it were, a very tough message to the people. He had to bring rebuke and judgment. The rebukes were severe, the judgment strict. His description of sin, heinous. His summary of the people, they were stumbling around in darkness. And Isaiah has to tell the people of the Lord that the Lord will use his arm, his mighty arm, to punish that sin. The Lord God shall come with a strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. But Isaiah has already told them that this arm is going to come. He says in chapter 1, verse 25, I will turn my hand upon thee. Chapter 5, therefore is the anger of the Lord kindled against his people, and he hath stretched forth his hand against them, and hath smitten them. Isaiah 28, behold, the Lord hath a mighty and strong one, which as a tempest of hail and a destroying storm, as a flood of mighty waters overflowing, shall cast down to the earth with his hand. His hand is going to bring punishment. The crown of pride, the drunks of Ephraim, shall be trodden under feet, and the glorious beauty shall be as a fading flower. Isaiah 30, that hand, that arm is described as bringing down lightning with his arm in the indignation of his anger. When Messiah comes, how will he use his strong arm? Up to chapter 39, Isaiah had been warning the people. Because of your sin, this is what you deserve. The punishment of the Almighty God. And he describes punishments that have been brought. It's this strong hand bringing forth plagues on Pharaoh, winning wars against mighty armies, breaking down mountains, throwing down rock. In chapter 27, Isaiah has told the people that the Lord is going to use, though, that strong hand also to punish the serpent. Satan will be crushed because the strong hand is coming. Sin will be destroyed because the strong hand is coming. The question this morning for you and I is, or one of the questions, how will the Lord use his strong hand against us? As you spend time in self-examination this week, you may have realized, I do not know God. I'm still straying. I'm off on my own path, following my own heart. My friend, if you are still living separate from God, in rebellion against him, if you still need to be born again, you are in danger of feeling this punishing hand. Or maybe you confess, I have been born again. I know things that God's done for me because I could never do them myself. And yet this week, just being overwhelmed with more guilt. Guilt? Because of real sins in your life. Condemnation, because you know you stand condemned. Fear, what will the Lord do with me? I see so much evidence of darkness in myself still. I deserve the Lord's hand against me. Maybe you even look at your life, what's going on in your life right now, and wonder, is God punishing me? Is his hand coming down on me? Has he left me? What must I do? No person can save themselves. Even at their best, Isaiah says in chapter 40, all flesh is grass, and the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth. You have no strength to change yourselves. And the warfare then is serious. And it's as if Isaiah comes to chapter 40 and he has to tell the people, this warfare is serious. And even as you ask, can the Lord save us? Isaiah can bring comfort. Because, my friends, as he says elsewhere, the Lord's hand is not shortened. It is not diminished. It is not grown weak. The people cannot redeem themselves, but the Lord's arm will bring salvation. Comfort ye, my people. Cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished. Not because she's done anything, but because the Lord God will come with a strong hand. He will deliver. God had already promised this to Moses in Exodus. God was preparing the Israelites for deliverance from Egypt. And he says in Exodus 6, I will bring you out from the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will rid you out of their bondage, and I will redeem you with a stretched out arm. My arm will save those who are under bondage. It's only through that arm that you can be saved. And that arm will clear away all obstacles then. Notice how Isaiah describes that in verse 4. Every valley shall be exalted. Every mountain and hill shall be made low. The crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. God will take away all those obstacles, and the coming Messiah will come. The church will see his glory. His weightiness will be revealed. All flesh shall see it together, and the cry will go out, behold your God. God's not sending the Messiah to completely destroy his people, but so he can gather to himself a people, so he could be a God to them. The Lord has redeemed Jacob and ransomed him from the hand of him that was stronger than he. Even though he was captive to sin, even though people, we have sinned, God's bringing them back, gathering them together as the flock of sheep that they are. When God told Moses in Exodus 6 that he would deliver them with his strong hand, he promised, and I will take you to me for a people, and I will be to you a God. And as these sheep are gathered, there's so many that see the salvation of their Lord and are able to rejoice. And Micah says, there's so many, they shall make a great noise by reason of their multitude. And maybe you've wondered this week, you've struggled. Am I one of that flock? Am I one of that multitude? Am I really, truly his? You look to him for salvation, and yet your sins are so starkly clear again this week. You know you're not thinking about God as you ought. You don't love him as you should. You don't love his people as you should. Your obedience is inconsistent. You seem to obey only when it agrees with what you already want. Your desire to live for God only, to keep him preeminent, just goes up and down. You know you fail. You wonder, will there be any spiritual blessing for me this morning? How will God deal with me? Will He use that strong arm against me? Will He use that arm to show me salvation? Maybe the strong arm is only for those who are so much stronger than me, for those who are more confident. Isaiah says, He will feed His flock like a shepherd. With His arm, He will gather the lambs and carry them with His arm in His bosom. And with His arm, gently lead those who are with young. The promise that God is giving through Isaiah is this: the coming Savior is a mighty Savior, but He's also a gentle shepherd, even for weak people. His arm will feed them, not destroy them. His arm will gather them and carry them, not send them away. His arm will lead them in paths of righteousness. And this leads us to our second thought, the clear revelation of the gentle shepherd. The promise is that the gentle shepherd is coming. But it's not just a prophecy to the people of Isaiah's day about the future. Because as the only good shepherd, Christ came and He assumed flesh and blood for His sheep. He is the gentle shepherd. Yes, He still comes. He came as the powerful Messiah. But His strength is used for His people, not against Him. If you consider His time on earth, His power is clearly seen. He had power over the devils. He had power over disease. He had power over the Pharisees. He had power to confront Herod, stand up to Pilate. He had greater power. He had power to obey the law perfectly. He had strength to endure the forsakenness of the Father. He had strength to bear the punishment of sins for each of His sheep. This is what we're called to remember this morning. As Isaiah tells his people, behold your God. Behold your gentle shepherd. In the original, the first words of verse 11 are not, He will feed. They are, like a shepherd, He will do all these things. Like a shepherd, He will feed His flock. Notice the ownership here. He has a flock. He calls it His flock. He cares for that flock. Already during His time on earth, He went around not to the rich and the famous, but to the commoner. And said, follow me. Follow me. Follow your shepherd. As He lived His years on earth, He started to gather His flock together. And if you consider just who He gathered together while He was here on earth, you realize it's a diverse flock, diverse ages, diverse experiences, diverse knowledge. And yet He says, come together. Like a shepherd, I will feed my flock. as diverse as they are. Because all of them, every single one of them, is precious to me. What a blessing that is to consider this morning. As we anticipate communion, we don't gather because of any reason in ourselves. We have no reason. And yet as we gather, it's because the shepherd has gathered his sheep. His sheep are his flock. And they gather to meditate on the one who is clearly revealed as the gentle shepherd. And we can be absolutely confident that Jesus is the gentle shepherd, because he tells us himself in John 10, I am the good shepherd. From that chapter, we see three things in particular. The gentle shepherd speaks to his sheep. The sheep know his voice. When he calls them, they answer. His voice makes them willing. There are those who are outside of his flock, and they either think no one's calling, or they don't hear anybody. Or maybe they listen to strangers, go other ways. But his sheep hear his voice, and they gather together as his flock. The question, another question this morning is, have you heard his voice? Not in a mystical or not in a dream sense, but have you heard through his word God speaking to you? Convicting, maybe? Encouraging? His sheep hear his voice. But secondly, we see the gentle shepherd knows his sheep as well. And this knowing is not just the fact that the shepherd has a list of who his sheep are. No, he does know them by name, but he knows them by much more than just their name. He knows them personally. He knows their weaknesses. He knows their foibles. He knows their sins. He knows their stubbornnesses. And yet he says, my flock, they are his own. The gentle shepherd knows his sheep. But the mirror truth is also valid. The gentle shepherd is known, is knowable by his sheep. And his sheep acknowledge him. But as we come to communion this morning, we come to yet a greater truth. Because the good shepherd says, the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. This is what we remember. The sheep should be slain, and yet the shepherd goes instead. The sheep should have been cast off, but yet the shepherd experiences his father's rejection. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to our own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Those mighty hands get pierced, get nailed to the cross, so that a sheep can go free. He's innocently condemned as the king, so his sheep can be accepted by the Father and never forsaken. He for the sheep. And that's what you're called, dear believer, to remember this morning. The gentle shepherd. The gentle shepherd, though, did not just die for the sheep. Because what does Jesus say? I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. He gives his life. He lays it down. He did it willingly, freely, lovingly, generously, in spite of who the sheep are, in spite of them wandering away, in spite of all their iniquities. He lays himself down, and the Father lays all that iniquity on him. This morning, do you know this shepherd? Has he laid down his life for you? Can you say with the psalmist, the Lord is my shepherd? It's a common psalm. We all know it. But has it ever become your heart confession, your heart joy? Because you know the good shepherd has laid his life down for the sheep, and now you can sing, the Lord is my shepherd. Already when he was here on earth, Christ showed so clearly that he was the gentle shepherd. And as we come to communion, it's not just an event that we remember. It's also a message. Message we're called to meditate on. Because the gentle shepherd is not dead. The gentle shepherd is alive. The gentle shepherd is coming. The gentle shepherd is coming again. He's still shepherding his sheep. He's still leading them to green pastures. He's still refreshing them with still waters. He's still talking to them. His voice is still heard. Are you one of his sheep listening for him? As we've read in Isaiah this morning from Isaiah, the truth is that all we, like sheep, have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. But equally true, the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. And if that's your confession this morning, I invite you to come and dine at the Lord's table. It's his table. He calls you sheep who have gone astray, sheep who know they've gone astray, sheep who've experienced what it is to live astray. And yet he says, come. The Lord has laid on the gentle shepherd the iniquity of each of his sheep. This is what we remember. It's the gentle shepherd laying or taking the iniquity of us all. There's still some room, so we open it up to others who would like to join us at this first table. There's two more places here. Let's pray together. Almighty shepherd of thy sheep, as we gather communion this morning, we pray, Lord, that we would truly do this in remembrance of thee. We would remember thy broken body and thy shed blood for sheep who have gone astray, for sheep who deserve thy strong hand. And yet, we pray that as we gather, remembering Christ's death and sacrifice, we would be blessed with sweet communion. Lord, may we know sweet communion in Thee throughout these tables this morning. And we ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen. The bread which we break is a communion, the body of Christ. Take, eat, do this in remembrance of Him. This is His body, signifies His body, broken for you. Truth to meditate on this morning is that it was broken for sheep who have gone astray. The cup of blessing, which we bless, it's the blood of Christ shed for you. Drink ye all of it. It's the communion of the blood of Christ, signifying His blood shed for you. As you consider His blood shed for you, we realize this is the gentle shepherd's blood. It's this gentle shepherd who comes in our text telling us that He comes like a shepherd feeding His flock. He shall feed His flock like a shepherd. Like a shepherd, He knows what to feed His flock. He knows what they need. He knows when they need it. Like a shepherd, He knows how much they need. Like a shepherd, He knows where to bring them to that best feeding. Like a shepherd, He will lead you to green pastures. He will bring you to still waters, to that refreshment. Notice it's that same arm, the arm of the gentle shepherd that feeds. It's that arm that can be used for punishment, that is used for salvation. It's that same arm that comes feeding His sheep. Ezekiel 34 says, "And I will bring them out from the people and gather them from the countries and will bring them to their own land and feed them upon the mountains of Israel by the rivers and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them in a good pasture and upon the high mountains of Israel shall their fold be. There shall they lie in a good fold. And in a fat pasture shall they feed upon the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock, and I will cause them to lie down, saith the Lord God. And I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, even my servant David. He shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God. And ye, my flock, the flock of my pasture, are men. And I am your God, saith the Lord God. The gentle shepherd commits to his flock. He feeds them. And as you sit here this morning, this is your gentle shepherd. He will feed you. And he's coming again. The gentle shepherd is still shepherding. And he's coming again. Do you know what it is to desire to be fed by the good shepherd? What it is to be a hungry and thirsty sheep who needs refreshment? Then he says this morning, there's a table prepared for you. Come and dine. Come and dine because there's plenteous available. Come and dine because I will never stop feeding you. Come and dine because I love feeding my sheep. Still a few more places here. The bread which we break is the communion, the body of Christ. Take and eat. This signifies his body broken for you. Signifies his willingness to die for you. His willingness to feed you. The gentle shepherd had all that power. He is the mighty king. And yet he says, I am the good shepherd. And I give my life for the sheep. The cup of blessing which we bless is the communion of the blood of Christ. Drink ye all of it. It signifies his blood shed for you. It says, this do ye as often as you drink this in remembrance of me. The gentle shepherd. It says, the gentle shepherd comes and as he feeds, our text says he also protects because he shall gather them with his arm and carry them in his bosom. The arm of the gentle shepherd is used to protect his lambs. He's not a hireling. He's not going to run away. He's not going to flee danger. No, he's going to use those arms to protect from danger. He's a shepherd because he loves. He would rather give his life for you than let the enemy have you. And even if you feel that the enemy comes close sometimes, realize this, as he's carrying little lambs in his arms, whether it's the wolves or the enemies of serpents, those enemies have to get through those arms before they can get to the sheep. And those arms are still those mighty arms. And those arms keep those enemies away because they're protecting the sheep. And he doesn't just love the strong rams, those who are bold and strong and eager. No, he loves little lambs. He protects little lambs. Those who are recently born. Those who are still weak and dependent. Those who are maybe slower than others, need more defense. And what does he do? He stoops down and gathers them in his arms, as he holds them close in his bosom. They can hear His heart. They can hear His whispers. They feel His warmth. And to realize the gentle shepherd is keeping me in a safe place. He will keep me in these everlasting arms. These everlasting arms will be underneath me forever. No enemy can get me. Ezekiel 34 again describes this protection, where God says through Ezekiel, I will seek out my sheep and will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. I will seek that which was lost and bring again that which was driven away, and will bind up that which was broken and will strengthen that which was sick. This is your gentle shepherd. It's the shepherd who still protects you. And He's the shepherd that we look forward to coming again. It's times of spiritual danger in lives. And yet, if you know what it is to have those everlasting arms underneath you, to experience the protection of the Good Shepherd, He says to you this morning, come to a table prepared for you. This is a place where you experience more protection. A place where you can rest, not in yourselves, but in Him who has died for you. The bread which we break is the communion, the body of Christ. Take, eat. Signifies His body broken for you. Signifies again His willingness to die for you. His willingness as the gentle shepherd to protect you. His flock, the cup of blessing which we bless. It's the communion of the blood of Christ. Drink ye all of it. This signifies His blood shed for you. This do in remembrance of Him. As you remember Him, remember the gentle shepherd who not only feeds and protects His flock, but also leads them. He leads them that are with young. And how does He do it? He does it gently, gradually. He knows where the danger spots are. He leads you through them. He does it leadingly, in the sense that it's to a better place. As your gentle shepherd, He is leading you to a better place. Even though you might have to go through a valley or dark spot, the end goal is a much better place. And notice how gently He does it, because He leads gently those that are with young, those who are at different stages, those who have extra cares here. He doesn't say those are those who straggle behind, they'll catch up eventually. No, He leads those that are with young. Those with special burdens and cares receive gentle attention. The flock matters, every stage of it. The lambs matter. Those strong matter. Those who are with young matter. They matter. How much so? Well, consider the contrast that Isaiah develops in the rest of chapter 40. The weak sheep matter. The herding sheep matter. Those with extra burdens matter. And He leads them gently. But contrast that with verses 15 through 17. The nations are as a drop of a bucket. They're counted as a small dust of the balance. He taketh up the isles as a very little thing. All nations before him are as nothing. And yet every individual sheep matters. He says, take my yoke upon me, upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart. And then he leads, and he gives power to the faint. And to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. And he's leading them all the way. This is your gentle shepherd. This is the shepherd who still leads you today. This is the shepherd we look forward to coming again. Once again, if you have felt the love and the leading of the shepherd in your life, and he's brought you to a place where you can say, the Lord is my shepherd, and he invites you this morning to come and receive his feeding, his strengthening, his comfort. There's still some room on this side. Are there others who confess that the Lord is my shepherd? There's four places here. The bread which we break is the communion of the body of Christ. Take, eat. Signifies his body broken for you. His willingness to be the shepherd of those at all stages of spiritual life. The cup of blessing, which we bless, is the communion of the blood of Christ. Drink ye all of it. This signifies his blood shed for you. This we are called to do in remembrance of him. As you remember the gentle shepherd and his feeding and his leading and his protecting, why does he do this? Because he has a purpose in feeding and in leading and in protecting. And he's equipping you to go out as well. If you recall Peter's interaction with Jesus after his resurrection, Peter had just denied the Lord three times, and Jesus comes and he asks, Peter, do you love me? Do you know Peter's answer? Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, thou knowest all things. Jesus gave four responses. Three, that Peter was to go and feed the lambs and the sheep. But then he ends with this again. Follow me. Follow me. Be gentle with your under sheep, as it were, as I have been gentle with you, Peter. The arm of the gentle shepherd is gentle even with those who've denied. But it's an arm that goes to equip, to serve, so that Peter can write in 1 Peter 2, for even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but now are returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls." We cannot imitate Christ in his death, and yet we are called to go out and live righteously for him, because of him. We're to go out, even as the form says, and love those other sheep. We're to be gentle with them. We're to feed them, protect them. And then Peter writes a couple chapters later, "When the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away." The gentle shepherd feeds and leads and protects you so that you are equipped to go as his ambassadors, not preaching, but being gentle with others, feeding them, pointing them to the gentle shepherd time and time again. This is your gentle shepherd. He's the shepherd that we look for. He's not a dead shepherd. He's an alive shepherd. And he's coming again. Isaiah says in chapter 52 that the Lord has made bare his holy arm, and all the nations have seen it. All the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our Lord. You've already been witness this morning to that arm saving many sheep here. And are there others yet who can still say, "The Lord has worked salvation in me, not because of me, but through his mighty, holy arm, I've seen his glory." And he says to you, "Come, come and dine. And as you dine, sing, as it were, in your own hearts, 'The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want.'" Are there any others who know that feeding, that leading, that protecting in their lives? If not, then we will close this table and not open another. The bread which we break is the communion of the body of Christ. He says, "Take, eat. This is my body, broken for you." The cup of blessing, which we bless, is the communion of the blood of Christ. Drink ye of it. This cup signifies his blood shed for you. He calls us to do this in remembrance of him, remembrance of what he's done, in remembrance of who he is, in remembrance of his gentleness. Because the gentle shepherd is coming. The reason he came first time was to redeem his people. He's coming again to complete that redemption, as it were. Because the sheep do not just belong to the shepherd now. They belong to the shepherd for eternity. If you can say this morning, "The Lord is my shepherd," you do not belong to yourself, but you belong to your faithful Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of his sheep. Meditate on that for a moment. You are not your own, but you are his. You're to live for him now and forever. But because you are his, over his flock, God says, this is my flock. These are my sheep. These are sheep I have chosen. These are sheep I have loved. These are sheep I have purchased. These are sheep I have fed. These are sheep that I have protected and guided and led. These are sheep I have given my own son for. And then the eternal praise will not be about the sheep. But eternal praise will be about the great shepherd. He's redeemed us for his honor and his glory. I'd like to close this table by reading from Revelation 5. It's a bit longer of a passage, but the gloriousness of it. Should make us stand and stop in awe of being able to commune this morning. Revelation 5, beginning at verse 8. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each of them having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood, out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them heard I saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. This is the gentle shepherd. All power is his. All eternal praise will be his. This morning is just a foretaste of what's to come. The gentle shepherd is coming again. Are you looking forward to that day? Let's pray. Lord, help us to follow our gentle shepherd. May his arm be around us and feed us and protect us and equip us and lead us to glory, so that all honor and praise would be thine, and we would be able to sing together the new song with a loud voice. Worthy, oh, worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Lord, may goodness and mercy dwell, cause us to dwell in thy house forever. We pray this for Jesus' sake. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, since the Lord has now fed our souls at this table, let us therefore jointly, together, praise his holy name with thanksgiving. And everyone say in his heart thus, Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not all his benefits. who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. Who hath not spared his own son, but delivered him up for us all, and given us all things with him. Therefore God commendeth therewith his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. How much more then, being now justified in his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, how much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Therefore shall my mouth and heart show forth the praise of the Lord from this time forth forevermore. Amen. Let's now close with thanksgiving. O Almighty, merciful God and Father, we render thee most humble and hearty thanks that thou hast of thy infinite mercy given us thine only begotten Son for a mediator and a sacrifice for our sins, and to be our meat and drink unto life eternal, and that thou givest us lively faith whereby we are made partakers of such great benefits. Thou hast also been pleased that thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, should institute and ordain his holy supper for the confirmation of the same. Grant, we beseech thee, O faithful God and Father, that through the operation of thy Holy Spirit, the commemoration of the death of our Lord Jesus Christ may tend to the daily increase of our faith and saving fellowship with him. Through Jesus Christ, thy Son, in whose name we conclude our prayers, saying, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen.